Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called Save the Date, and this week Pastor Josh explains why Ruth and Boaz are really good examples of what it looks like to be dateable, but Jesus is the perfect example. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? You guys good? Come on. Good? I hear from a few of you guys, all right? So, hey, if you're new with us, my name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here, and I just definitely want to welcome you here and hope that you're having a great morning already, and that you've had just a great experience, maybe connected with some people on your way in, hopefully connected with God a little bit in that first part of worship, and definitely encourage you, if you're new with us, stop by the Connect Corner. We've got a gift for you there that we would love to give you, and just meet you a little bit after service, all right? So do that. Do me a favor also. We've got some people who are watching online, and we have some people from the C3 Coffee Bar. Would you guys give them a hand for being with us? So glad that everybody is with us. If you are new, we are a church that meets in multiple locations, a bunch of them here in Horry County, and then also across the nation. As soon as I'm done preaching this message, I'll be hopping on a plane and heading to Vegas and being with our campus there tonight. So we do church all over the place, okay? So it's exciting. And let me just say this, that we're in a series called Save the Date. And it's going to be an incredible series. We started it last week. If you are single, it is a series specifically designed for you, all right? And now that single can be because maybe you're a teenager, maybe you're a young adult, maybe you've never been married, or maybe you're divorced or widowed, maybe you're a single mom, maybe you're a single dad. Whatever it might be, if you find yourself single, this is a series that I really hope will have a lot of traction for you, because we're looking at a lady in the Bible who was a widow, and we kind of get to follow her life as she went from being a widow to finding a man to getting married and things like that. So we're going to travel with her life, and I think it'll be great for you. I also say this, though. If you're married, everything I'm going to say today applies to you as well, all right? That it's geared for a single person, but as a married person, it's something that you can really grab traction on with as well, because I'm going to ask a question, and it really doesn't matter if you're single or if you're married. The question is simply this. Are you dateable? And some of you are like, yeah, I'm right here. I see you, okay? And again, I ask this question, it doesn't matter if you're single or married, because if you're married, you want your spouse to still look at you and say, yep, you're dateable. I like who I've married. I like what's going on, all right? If you're single, then it's one of those things that you'll ask in this regard of, is that person dateable? Like, do I want to date them? Or you'll ask, am I dateable? And honestly, online, this is a big question. If you just type in, are you dateable, on Google, it'll bring up tons of sites. A bunch of them are tests that you can take to find out if you're dateable or not. And I actually took a test, all right? And I've got the results. Now, I don't like the results, so, you know, anyway. Come on. Now, that's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny, but I'm not making a political statement at all. I'm just having fun, okay? That's it, because church should be fun, amen? All right, so I'm just having some fun. But, you know, there are these websites, and they will give you results if you're dateable or not. I honestly was 67%, all right? My wife disagreed with that. You know, she's like, I'll let you decide which side she thought, okay? But I want you to be dateable. Again, whether you're single or whether you're married, I want us to have the characteristics where you go, as I live this out, that God would see me as someone who's dateable. Because understand this, especially if you're single, think of it this way. that you might be saying, God, please bring somebody into my life. God, I want you to bring that right person, that right guy, that right girl. I want you to bring them, all right? But will God bring somebody into your life? Or does God go, well, I don't know, are you actually dateable? Will he answer your prayer because he looks at you and says, yep, that's somebody who's dateable. Now let's make sure we bring somebody together, all right? So we're going to look at this, and the way we're going to really do it is we're just going to look at some characteristics that we see in the life of Boaz and Ruth. Now, let me give you the backstory in case you wasn't with us last week, all right? That as we went into the story last week, we hear about this story of Elimelech. And Elimelech is a dad, and he's taking his wife and his two kids, and they're heading to this foreign land to try to provide for himself. And as they're trying to provide for their family, they move into this foreign land, which he wasn't supposed to do. While he was there, his two boys, they found these two foreign women. They were Moabite women. They weren't supposed to marry these foreign women because they worshipped false gods and a bunch of other reasons. But they went ahead and did that. And while they were there, Elimelech, the dad, the two boys both died. So you have this mom named Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, all right? So these three ladies are now stuck in this foreign land by themselves, and Naomi looks at her daughter-in-laws and says, y'all just need to go back to your gods. You need to go back to your people. She says, you just need to do that, all right? And Orpah does it, but Ruth says, no, I'm sticking with you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your gods. And so Ruth follows Naomi back to the homeland in Bethlehem. And that's where we pick up the story. So let me keep reading. Ruth chapter 2 says this. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. Basically, all that means is she's saying, let me go to the local food bank, all right? I want to go to the food bank because I need to get some food because we're starving. Continues on, says, so Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. As it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. So here's where these two characters get introduced. That you have Ruth, who is now in this field that is owned by Boaz, all right? And we're going to see their story for the next 3 weeks here at church, and we're going to see how their relationship grows. And inside of it, I want to just hit this one little point before we go into their characteristics, is that neither one of them was looking for a relationship. They were just going through life doing what was right. And as they were going through life doing what was right, that's how they found a relationship. And I think too many times we get so pressed on, I got to find somebody, that we forget just to live the way God is calling us to live. Live the way God is calling you to live and let him put you in the right place. And that's what he did with Ruth and Boaz. And as we look at Ruth and Boaz, we're going to see some characteristics in their relationship, in their life, is a better way for me to say that. We're going to see some characteristics in their life that I think each and every one of us should emulate. That these are characteristics that you would say that, is that person dateable? Well, maybe they're dateable because of these characteristics. Maybe they're dateable because they're peaceful, or maybe they're dateable because they're a protector. Maybe they're dateable because they're a provider. So I want you to think of that externally, like, is that person dateable? But I also want you to think of it internally. Am I peaceful? Am I a protector? Am I a provider? And I would encourage you, pull out your phone and take this list down. Because I'm going to give you six characteristics that you can just decide, check mark, all right? Pull out your journal and let's take some notes on this and let's look at it. Because what we see in Boaz is a man who is peaceful, a man who is a protector, and a man who is a provider. It starts with he is peaceful. Look how he greeted his people, all right? Boaz, big owner, boss man, walks onto his job site. And he says, while she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you, he said. The Lord bless you, his harvesters replied. Might just seem like a simple thing, but it gives us great insight into the man of Boaz. That when he shows up on the job site as the boss of all these workers, the first things out of his mouth is, may the Lord bless you. That he was coming as a man of peace. And let's admit it, all right, for some of you, many of us who have been in the workforce for a long time, there's days your boss shows up and he doesn't bring peace, right? Right, amen. It's just true. But he's a boss that is showing up, and as he's showing up, he's bringing peace. And I think he brings peace because he has his priorities right. that he has peace with God, and God is the leader of his life, that God is the one that he's trying to please, and we're going to see this through the whole story, and because he has his priorities right, and he's made peace with God, he's able to come and bring peace into a relationship. And let me ask you this, do you bring peace into the relationships that you are a part of? Do you bring peace into those relationships? Do you bring peace, whether that's a work relationship, whether that's a dating relationship, whether that's a marriage relationship, a family relationship, or just a friendship in general? Do you bring peace into those relationships? That's the first question to decide if you're dateable or not. But let's keep going on to the second thing. He wasn't just somebody who brought peace because he had his priorities right with God. He was also a guy who brought the idea of protection. Look at the next verse. Boaz went over and he said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter." It's a simple thing, but he addresses her as a daughter. Big guy coming over. She's gleaning from his field. She is picking up the harvest. She's picking up the food that she's doing that. And all of a sudden, here comes big boss man. You know immediately she'd be going, how am I going to get reacted to? Like, what's going to happen? And the first words out of his mouth is daughter. That I believe he puts her at ease, like saying, listen, I want to protect you. And we see that by what he says next. Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us. When you gather grain, don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly. So do you see what's going on in the conversation? He greets her in the right way by just calling her daughter. He's trying to put her at ease, saying, listen, I'm like a dad right now, and I want to protect you. And I want you to be protected, so the way I'm challenging you to do that or encouraging you to do that is just stay in my field. Just stay right here. Other fields, they can be dangerous. Other fields, people can attack you. But if you stay in my field by my other workers, you are in a safe place. And I've even encouraged the young men, because the young men, they see this beautiful new young woman on the fields. You know, some of them are like, who's the new girl? And he's saying, and I've told the young men to leave you alone. He provided a place of protection. And let me just say this, all right? As guys, that we need to be men, all right, who bring a safe place to the people we are in relationship with. If you're married as a husband, then your job is to provide a place of protection. That you want a safe place for the people in your family. We see that as it's laid out in Ephesians chapter 5, which is a book in the Bible. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? He paid our debts. Christ loved the church by going to the cross. Christ loved the church by sacrificing his life. That Christ loved the church, meaning each and every one of us. Anyone who can hear my voice right now, Christ loved us so much so that he gave up his life. He forfeited his life on our behalf, and he took the bullet, that he went to the cross. He's basically saying, I am protecting the bride. So husbands, the way that we protect is we have to be willing to provide a safe environment for our families, for our wives, for our kids, if you have kids. And this is what I know about men. That almost every married man I've ever talked to would say, I'll take a bullet for my wife. I'll take a bullet for my kids. I'll jump in front of a train for my kids. I will protect them and provide a safe place for them. But let me ask you this, will you do it on a daily basis? Will you provide a safe place on a daily basis? Because when you're throwing something across the room, when you're punching a hole in the wall, that's not creating a safe environment. So we have to look and say, am I going to be a place where you know that if you're in a relationship with me, you are protected. It is safe. Go on another step further. That Boaz didn't just bring peace. He also brought protection, and he also brought provision that he provided for her. Notice he said, stay in my field, all right? Stay right here and gather the grain. Gather the harvest. Pick up what is left on the ground. The next part of the verse says it this way. And when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well. So anytime you're thirsty, go and get some water. A little bit later, they take a lunch break, and he says, Ruth, come over here. Here's some bread. A little bit later, at the end of the night, he says, Ruth, take some of this roasted grain back to your mother-in-law. That all throughout the day, Boaz is providing for Ruth. He is being generous towards her. And guys, this wasn't just like a handout. This wasn't just one of those things he's like, well, I just want to take care of this poor woman. Here's a handout. I just feel like I got to be nice for a second. This was a spiritual act for Boaz. See, Boaz understood as a landowner, as a business owner, as a man who was Jewish, that the law was written by God to say that if you have land and you have a harvest, don't harvest the edges of your field. Leave the edges of your field alone so that the foreigners, for those who are poor, for those who are widows, so that they can come and they can gather some crops. And it was also said, if something falls to the ground, don't pick it up. Instead, just allow those who are poor, those who are foreigners, those who are widows, allow them to pick up the food from the ground, all right? And so what Boaz is doing is he's not just giving a handout. He is doing what is spiritually right, that he has set up his entire business as a kingdom-minded business where he's saying, I am going to provide for the needs of others. And I think as business owners, one, we should be doing that. As individuals, we should be doing that. And even in our relationships, whether it's a dating relationship, engaged or married, then we should be going, how can I provide for somebody? How can I spiritually provide? How can I physically provide? How can I be generous? Because I want to do this as a spiritual act towards God, that my priorities are right, and as a spiritual act of worship, I'm going to do what is right. And all through Scripture, you'll see scriptures that back that up, that says, as a man, as a family person, then you need to take care of your family, take care of widows, take care of orphans, take care of the people you're in relationships with. So let me say it this way, ladies, I would say you should be looking for a Boaz. That I think you should be looking for somebody who is peaceful, who is a protector, and who is a provider. But I want to make sure you hear this. That's not just characteristics of a guy. That's characteristics of a girl as well, all right? I said it all through a guy's perspective because I was talking about a man named Boaz, and I was just using him as the illustration. But whether you're a guy or a gal, you should be looking in this idea of being peaceful, being a protector, being a provider, all right? So it's one of those things that I could say it this way. Ladies, be looking for a Boaz, all right? Whether you're single, if you're married, be looking towards your husband as being that Boaz, all right? But also make sure that it is internal, that we're all trying to live these things out, that we should all want to be, peaceful, that we should all want to be a protector, that we should all want to be a provider. But it doesn't stop there. See, we should also say, yes, I also want to be respectful, I want to be righteous, and I want to be redeemed. That I should want all of these things into my life. See, these last three come from the story of Ruth. But again, I say it this way, that these, I'm going to communicate them through Ruth's perspective. So as ladies, it's easy to grab a hold of, but as guys as well, guys, we need to be living respectful, we need to be righteous, and we need to be redeemed. And let's just see how that plays out. Because the first thing we really see in Ruth is someone who is respectful. That Ruth looked at her mother-in-law and said, Naomi, I'm going to go out to the fields. I'm going to go and try to find some food. She was basically asking permission. She was kind of saying, I want to do this. And then when you see that Ruth comes in front of Boaz, this is how she responds to Boaz. Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. What have I done to deserve such kindness? She asked. For I'm only a foreigner. That Ruth responded to Boaz with this idea of honor and respect. Like she fell down at his feet. Now, ladies, make sure you hear this. I'm not telling you you should fall down at the feet of the men in your life, okay? I'm not telling you that. I figured I'd get an amen or something, okay? Or I'd get some guy saying, Josh, stop talking, okay? But what I am saying is there should be honor and respect. That whether you're a lady or a guy, there should be honor and respect. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submit to one another. That is written to both men and women, that we are to submit to one another. And then the Apostle Paul, he then goes further into his conversation. And in verse 22, he says, wives, submit to your husbands. What he's simply saying is just honor them, respect them. Now, he's not saying, husbands, you get to be domineering or anything like that. That's not what the verse means or is pointing towards at all. It's just simply saying, live a life of respect and of honor. And ladies, I can say this, when you do that to the men in your life, whether you're dating, engaged, or married, what you're doing is you're building into them a wiring that God has put in them to be a leader. You're building into them this idea that now they want to be a protector, they want to be a provider. So it actually works in a very good way and brings great unity into the relationship. But again, I will say it this way, all of us should be honoring, respecting. Kids, honor and respect your parents. Parents, honor and respect your kids. Students, honor and respect your teachers. Teachers, honor and respect your students. All right? Husband, respect and honor your wife. Wife, honor and respect your husband. Employee, honor and respect your boss. Boss, honor and respect your kid. Do you see it? Like, it's if you're in relationship, we should constantly be looking about how do I honor and how do I respect? So, again, let me ask that question. Are you honoring, are you respecting the people in your life? What about this? Are you being righteous in the way you live? See, Ruth is going, Boaz, why are you treating me like this? Don't you see that I am just a foreigner? And then Boaz replies like this, yes, I know. Yeah, I know that. Like Ruth can't get past her past at this moment. That Ruth is basically saying, Boaz, don't you see that I'm a foreigner? I mean, she might as well have said this. She might as well put this on her Match.com like ad, okay? She might as well have said, don't you realize I'm a foreigner, that I used to worship false gods, that I'm homeless, that I'm poor, that I'm a widow, and I'm barren. Like, I don't have a whole lot for you, Boaz. Why are you treating me this way? And Ruth couldn't get past her past. It was as if her past was defining her. And this is what I want to say, because maybe you've got a past. Maybe there's some issues in your life. Don't let your past define you, define your past. There's a big difference there. Don't let your past define you, define your past. Because what Ruth needed to say is, you know, in my past, I used to worship false gods. In my past, I was a foreigner. I have now moved to this place and I'm walking with God because I'm walking towards God. That's my life. So my past is my past, and now I'm in my present. But in the moment, Ruth couldn't do that. In the moment, Ruth is going, but my past. And Boaz says, whoa. But I've also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law and since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land here to live here among complete strangers. What Boaz is saying is, yeah, I know you might have a past, but your present, you are doing everything that is right. She was living a righteous life. That she had turned from her past and she's saying, now I'm going to do what is right. And let me challenge you. Just do what is right. When it comes to dating, just do what is right. When it comes to your marriage, just do what is right. Do what is right, not what is easy. Because right things aren't always easy things. It's easy to do a lot of wrong things. It's hard, and it takes discipline to date right, to be engaged right, to be married right. It takes a lot to walk that through. But do what is right, not what is always easy. And in the moment, Ruth was doing what was right, which made her righteous. And I want to challenge you to do that. So, again, I could ask it this way. In your relationships, are you doing what is right? But let's go on to one other thing. Because in Ruth, we also see that she was redeemed. It says this, may the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. And I love the imagery here. That Boaz is saying, the God you've taken up refuge under, the God you've come to as your shelter, that you have put your life into God's hands. And because you've done that, God's going to reward you. That what we see is Ruth is redeemed because she's entered into a relationship with God. And because she's entered into this relationship with God, Boaz ends up redeeming her as well. Now, this is not a word we use a lot these days around here. Now, we don't use the word redeemer necessarily. We don't use the word kinsman redeemer at all. But to a Jewish person, Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer, meaning by law, it was his duty to help take care of her and redeem her and give her property and give her food and do all that. And once he realized that he was in the family line, he's like, this is what I got to do. So let me just go ahead and tell you the rest of the story is they end up starting to date, they end up getting married, they end up having a kid, and their child ends up being the granddad of King David. King David ends up in the family line of Jesus. So because of Boaz and Ruth's relationship, Ruth gets redeemed, provides for her mother-in-law, but also for all future generations, including us. That's what happens in Ruth's life. All right, and we're going to hear a lot more about that next week and the following week, but let me just kind of camp out in this area of redeemer for a second. Because what Boaz did for Ruth is the same thing that Jesus does for us. Boaz showed up in the midst of a terrible situation for Ruth, and he said, let me rescue you. Let me redeem you. That he understood her situation in life, and he came along as the redeemer. Because that word redeemer simply means to rescue or to deliver. And just as Boaz did that for Ruth, that's what Jesus does for us. That Jesus redeems us. That Jesus rescues us. That Jesus provides for us. That Jesus is that great deliverer who can redeem you. And that's what I want to see in your life. I want to see this idea that you would say, yeah, I'm redeemed. That I've taken up refuge under Christ's wing. That he has saved me. That he has protected me. That he has provided for me. And because of what Jesus has done, I now have peace with God. And because I have peace with God, I can bring that into all of my relationships. And I can look at Jesus because Jesus as the Redeemer is also the great protector. And Jesus, as the Redeemer, is also the provider. And Jesus is a guy who respects us and honors us and helps us to figure out how to do that best for others. And Jesus is also the righteous one who can make us right with God. That's what Jesus does. So a great way for me to say that as we move into a time of response is not just are you dateable, but is Jesus dateable? And I know that sounds weird when I say Jesus and dateable, so let me change that language just a little bit. Is Jesus worth entering into a relationship with? And I would say he is. I would say he definitely is, because he's the one who can redeem. He's the one who can bring you peace. He is the one who can protect. He can protect you from the enemy, and he can protect you from hell. He can protect your soul. That Jesus is the one who can provide. Provide grace, provide forgiveness, provide mercy, provide life. That Jesus is the one who serves us and honored us by washing the disciples' feet and then serving us and honoring us by dying on the cross. That Jesus is the one who shows us how to do what is right, not what is easy. So what I'd love to see you say today is I want to be in a relationship with Jesus. That's what I want for you. Because let's be honest, none of us are really dateable and 100% in that list. You know what I mean? Like, I can talk just about myself. That I know I don't always bring peace into relationships. That I know I don't always honor. I know I don't always do what is right. I want to, and I'm going to try to, and I hope we will all say that's what I want to do, and that's what I'm going to strive to do. But we know we don't always do it right. And that's why we need Jesus. And in Jesus, you are made whole. We might not be made perfect, but we're made perfect to him where we get to go to heaven. And when we surrender our life to Christ and he redeems us, then he starts working on us. He starts doing work in us, which helps us to do a better job of doing what is right, which helps us to do better at honoring people, which helps us to do better at protecting and providing and bringing peace. I'm confident in saying this, that if you'll enter into a relationship with Jesus, He's going to help you be much better at all of your other relationships. If you'll enter into a relationship with Jesus, then through Him, you can do a whole lot better in all of your relationships. So I want you to think about that as we move into this time of response. And maybe you're going to come up and take communion. Maybe you take that little piece of bread, that cup of juice, and just spend some time thanking Jesus for redeeming you, thanking Jesus for saving you, and maybe asking Him, man, help me to live out these characteristics in a better way. Maybe you're going to go over to the prayer corner and just spend some time praying. Just get down on your knees and just spend some time with Him. Maybe you're going to light a candle over there. Again, there's nothing magical about those candles. All that is it gives you a time where you can kind of just sit and spend some time with Jesus and take a moment and just sit with Him for a little while. Maybe talk to one of our prayer counselors who's over there and just say, man, I need to get some of these in my life, or I need somebody to pray over me because I want to find a Boaz, or I want to find a Ruth. Maybe you need that. There'll be people in the Connect Corner willing to pray with you about that as well. Maybe it's a step of baptism. But whatever it is this morning, then here's what I want to challenge. One, if you've never made peace with God and taken shelter under His wings, then this morning do that. And say, Jesus, I need You. And let Him redeem you. And then start walking out your faith. Why don't you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to pray, and then we'll respond. Jesus, I come before You. And I just ask in this moment, Jesus, that we will take refuge under Your wings. And God, that You will do a work in us. It will do all this work internally. And then we'll look for this in people that we might eventually enter into a relationship with. Jesus, sanctify our marriages. Help those who are married in this room to live out these characteristics with their spouse. Help those who are single to live out these characteristics individually and to look for these characteristics in others as well. In Your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like more information on how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.